This morning, if you would, and go with me to the book of 1 John and chapter number 1 in your Bibles today. The book of 1 John, not the book of John as in the Gospels, but go back further toward the end of the Bible and you'll find the book of 1 John. And we're going to look there today at 1 John and chapter number 1. I think it's getting a little bit warmer in here. Little bit inching forward. I've got all the heat up here by me, so eat your hearts out there. Try to keep the heat going. Amen. Somebody asked me, are you going to preach a fiery sermon? I don't have any choice this morning. Amen. Got to preach one this morning. All right. Well, God is good. 1 John chapter 1. Trust you'll follow along with me as I read this morning. 1 John chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says here. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I want to preach on this passage this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the privilege to open the Bible and preach it. And Lord, we need your guidance and your direction and your wisdom this morning as we open your word. And Lord, this morning I pray that you'd help us to be like that dry sponge that needs to be filled with water. Lord, may we soak up thy word this morning. May we soak it in like that dry sponge. Lord, that it would meet our needs and meet the needs of every heart and life. So I pray that you would in these next few moments. We'll be careful to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the passage of Scripture that we just read, there is a step-by-step picture of what Christ is like depicted here by John. There's a key word in the book of John here, and the key word is the idea of fellowship. Fellowship. That's the central idea of the book that is given here, the book of 1 John. Fellowship. Well, what is fellowship? If that's what it means, then what is it? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, but I'm not going to answer it yet. I'm going to leave you in suspense. It's kind of like that good show you're involved in, and you watch it, you wait, you want to see the end, and all it says, to be continued, right? Yeah, well, that's kind of how the sermon's going to be this morning, so stick with me, all right? I want you to see, first of all, what God is saying here in verse number 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life, this was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, I want to tell you something. He's talking about Jesus Christ right here. He's talking about Christ. Christ came to this earth. We beheld him with our eyes. We've seen him with our eyes. We looked upon him and even said our hands have handled him. Can you imagine living in that day where you could actually walk up and touch the Son of God? That would be amazing. By the way, I may have not have had that chance in the past, but I will have that chance in the future. Amen. That opportunity is gone, but there's an opportunity in the future that lies. Okay. My hands can touch the word of life. We know it's talking about Jesus here. And by the way, whenever Scripture, especially in the New Testament, is talking about the Word, you often see it capitalized. And the reason it's capitalized is it's talking about a proper person, a proper name in our English language, and it's referring to Jesus. Jesus is the Word, but he is the Word in the flesh. The Word in the flesh. By the way, that's a miracle right there. Amen. To take deity, have him come to earth in perfection, and on this earth, he be on this earth and take on humanity. Amen. There's only one reason he did it. He did it for you, and he did it for me. That's the only reason he did it. We needed a Savior. And so the Word became flesh. He came to this earth and he dwelled among us. And can I tell you something? What that did, what Scripture is teaching us here, is that that was life. That was life. I want you to see it. Notice what he said here. He said in verse 2, "For the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was also manifested unto us." So when we got Jesus, he is the Word. Here's what we got. We got life. We got life. No, I'm not talking about this living, breathing body. We did get that. I'm talking he awakened our spiritual soul that was dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the life came, he awakened our spiritual deadness and brought spiritual life through the quickening of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what he did. If you're saved today, you ain't dead. If you're saved here today, you got life. But can I tell you something? If you're not saved here today, you do not have the Word of God in you. Therefore, you don't have life. You're dead. You're dead. But can I tell you, he who had power over death, because he's life, has power to raise you from the dead. Spiritually. Because Ephesians 2 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." God does a good job. He takes what's dead and brings it to life. By the way, Buddha, Muhammad, nobody else has ever done that. Only the Lord Jesus has ever taken the dead and brought it to life. And I think he did Lazarus that way, just so everybody could know he's the one that takes the dead and brings it back to life again. Hallelujah. I'm about to have a shouting fit, and I'm not even Pentecostal. Amen. I'm glad that God brought life to my sin-sick soul. October 20th, 1980, as a 13-year-old boy sitting in church, and God took me when I received him, and he saved me, and he gave me new life in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for new life. If you don't have new life today, thank God that He offers it to anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. Those things have brought you death. But God says, I bring new life. I bring new life. You know, we look at this conflict going on in Israel today. But there's an interesting little church in the middle of Tel Aviv. It's not a big church. It's even smaller than our church. But it runs about 40 people. And in that church, there's a mixture. Half Jewish people, half Muslim heritage. They have all been saved, and they trusted Christ. They all are Christian people. And those people love each other. You say, why'd that happen? I'll tell you what happened. It happened because somebody brought life. Somebody brought life. Now stick with me because we're going somewhere. Life came through Jesus Christ. Number two. Life then brought fellowship. Life brings fellowship. Verse 3. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That church in Israel today, the reason they have fellowship is because God came, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and through His death and resurrection gave us eternal life, and that eternal life then gives us fellowship. You know, I can have good fellowship with somebody I've never even met much in my entire life. You know why? Because if they know Christ and I know Christ, we're of the same spirit. That's an amazing thing. I mean, I can have fellowship with anybody. I could go to a foreign nation right now. I've been in Africa, my daughter and son-in-law are ministering in Africa right now. I can go over there and just feel right at home with some of those Africans. And you say, what is that? Conversely, there's people I've known all my life and I don't have that fellowship. I don't have that connection. And what is it? It's God the Father came. He became flesh for us. He gave us life through His resurrection. And that life brings us fellowship. I mean, you can get along with anybody who knows Christ. Wouldn't this world be wonderful if people had Christ? Because if this world had Christ, there'd be fellowship. And the fellowship of the Spirit of God keeps us and ties us together and keeps that joy resounding. I'm already getting ahead of myself. That's my next point. The fellowship brings joy. Now let me show you this. The fellowship brings joy. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Now, he's saying this is joy. It comes from God and it brings life to you and me and it brings fellowship to us as people who trust Christ, believers in Christ, the saved, we know the Lord, and that fellowship is there. And so what God is teaching us here then is that is what brings us joy. Now, joy and happiness are two different things. Joy and happiness are two different things. If you have joy, you have happiness. But if you have happiness, you don't necessarily have to have joy. I can put a teenager on a roller coaster and let them go round and round, and they get off happy. But that doesn't mean they have joy. I've been on roller coasters before and Trust me, there ain't no joy involved. Amen? Joy is far, far from it. Amen? Might have got happy, but it didn't bring joy. Somebody buy you a new car, bring it to your driveway, put it with a big bow on the front, and give you the keys, and you'd be happy. But that wouldn't necessarily give you joy. So joy brings happiness. Where's joy come from? Fellowship. Where's fellowship come from? The death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, happiness in life, and everybody's going after happiness, but the real problem is that they're missing joy. When you have joy, you'll be happy. But happy people don't have joy, or don't necessarily have joy. So what is it? What is it that brings this joy? I'm glad you asked that question. You're full of questions this morning. I'm glad you asked. So notice here what he said here. Verse 5, we're getting to some good stuff, so hold on. Put your seatbelt on. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That statement resolves the question, doesn't it? There's no darkness at all. None. That means even a shadow is not created by God, because a shadow brings darkness. Are you with me? There is no darkness in him at all. I can't, you know, when we get to heaven, did you know there's no light in heaven? We don't need the sun. Bible says the former things are passed away. But when we get to heaven, the light of God will be there. And if in him is no, if there's no darkness at all, there's no such thing as a shadow when you get to heaven. Can you imagine? There's no such thing as a shadow. I refuse to get on the scale. No more scales for me. It's bad enough when I walk down the road, I have to look at my shadow. Is that me? Surely that's not me. Is that me down there? That light is exacerbating my shadow. It's making it too large. So that's why I don't get on the scale anymore. But when I get to heaven, there are no shadows. Amen. In him is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. No darkness. Isn't heaven going to be amazing? No, we won't even know darkness. We won't even know sin. We won't even know evil. We will be simple concerning evil. We won't know it. We won't see it. It won't taint us. It won't weigh us down. Sin is like gravity in this world, and we're in this world. This world's full of sin. And even our natures tend to go that direction, because we're just flesh and blood. But not in him. In him is no darkness at all. None. So I brought something I want to show you today. That work? Okay. I brought my flashlight today. God is what? Light. Titus brought this over. What'd you do to this thing, Titus? It doesn't work. I thought you said that light. Be quiet. You're ruining my illustration. There's a Makita fan back there, folks. Amen. Milwaukee, okay. No further. We're not going anymore. Okay. This is the life, right? This ain't the life. It's a tool of the life. There's no light there without the life, right? I just want to shine at Mrs. Bingham's eyes. Just I'm an ornery preacher. Now, wait a minute. You take out the life, you take out the light. Right? That is why the passage of Scripture here starts by saying God is life, not light. Light comes after the life. Right? So he said, in him was life. And in him, because of him, he is light. This is you before you got saved. That's you. You're trying all this stuff to get turned on. You're trying to get this life going. Lord, there's no life. What? I'm going to try some drugs. I'm going to try some stuff. I'm going to try this. People are searching for light in their life. People want life. You are not going to have light without life. Amen. You need life so you can have light. That's what God's trying to teach us. And when you have life, you have fellowship. When you have fellowship, your joy is full. It's not just that happiness that you try to go after. It's joy that produces happiness. And you find that when you have fellowship with Him, there's no darkness, no light, light at all. That's what God wants to do for you and me. He wants to put the light in Him. But He can't put light in you unless you have life in you. It all starts with the life. You know, so many people are trying to get saved by doing good works. That's a waste of time. Because all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and you can't do good enough to get to heaven. This is what you're doing. That's what you need right there. You need life. Life is what brings light. And when there's light, darkness is dispelled. Can I tell you today, if you're struggling with something in your life, you're trying to click the button, it may not be that light's coming on. Why don't you go to the light source? Why don't you go to the life and find life? That's what'll do it. Find life in your soul. I want to tell you something. He was life because He was raised from the dead the third day. Death could not hold Him. Hey, listen, death has no power over life. God has power over death because He is life. The life produces fellowship, joy, and God is light. And this is what God does in every one of us. I want to show you one more thing. Is this good or is this good? Man, I'm having fun. I wish God called a bunch of you men to preach, because then you could have as much fun as me. I'm having fun. You're freezing to death, but I'm having a good time. Amen? You got the light. Okay. Now here we go. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, Wait a minute. That's not just getting the light. That's walking in that light. Are you with me? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I want to tell you something. I need this light not just to be saved. I need it to walk through life. I need to know my next step. I need to know what to do. I need to know where to go. I need to know where the stumbling blocks are in life. The heater feels good. I'm going to preach over here for a little while. See, the light is what we're supposed to walk in life. And that light, when we walk in it, what's it going to do? It's going to dispel darkness in your life. So the light is a choice that we have to make. But the light comes from the life. And the life is in Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to tell you, so many people are trying to live life without life. And you know what they're finding? They can't walk through life. I wish I could see what to do. I wish I could see where this path leads. I wish I could see where. And we stumble, we fall. You know why? There's no life. And there's a lot of Christians that are saved, but you pulled the battery out. And you're walking in your own path. You're not supposed to, once you get saved, you need the life. But once you live the Christian life, you need the life. Because the life has to keep the light going in our life. He was life first, and then He's introduced His light. And that, my friend, is exactly what you and I need in our life. Some people tell me sometimes, I've got this thing in my life. I got this thing in my life, preacher, it's controlling me. Why don't you shine some light on that? Really? Why don't you shine some light on it? You say, oh, no. Shine some light on it. Let God's word and God's truth penetrate through it. Because in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness. None at all. Oh, listen. Your life and my life is only a real life when His life is in our life. Is God in your life? Do you come to church on Sunday and then kind of drop God off until the next Sunday? It's not intended to be that way. You need Him Monday. You need Him Tuesday morning. You need Him Wednesday afternoon. You need Him Thursday. You need Him every day. Why? Because we're supposed to walk in the light. You're going to need that light on Thursday. You're going to need that light on Saturday. You're going to need the light of God in your life. So can I say to you this morning simply, number one, do you have Christ in your heart? Are you saved? Do you have life? If not, it's simple. You have to open your heart genuinely. Genuinely. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. Because why would you need to be saved if you're not a sinner? Right? And say to God, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. And wash me in His blood. Let me wrap it up. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. God's saying, oh, you recognize you're a sinner. We have an advocate with the Father. It's like we have a lawyer with God. What better lawyer could you have than to have your lawyer as the son of the judge? What better lawyer could you have? Sounds like a winning proposition to me. God says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We go to Him and God pleads on our behalf and says, God, you know they're a sinner, but they want to be saved. They want to come. They repent of those sins. They don't want to be like that. Would you save them? And God the Father says, I love them. I sent my son to pay for those sins. Absolutely, I'll forgive their sins and cleanse it all under the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what happens? You got life. Amen. Salvation is not a process. Right. It don't take me 2 hours to plug into the light. You know what I do? I click it in. And the light is there. When a person bows their heads, closes their eyes, trusts Jesus, asks Him to save you, instantaneously the Holy Spirit quickens the dead soul, makes it alive. And puts you on a place where you're saved. And guess what's in you? The light of Christ. And if you'll walk in Him and live your life. So hear me today. If you're not saved, this is what it's like. You need the life of Christ. Receive Him today and be saved. And know Him. Don't wait. Don't delay. It's not a process. It's not a ritual or a bunch of stuff you do. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple promise of God to the genuine hearted person who just wants God to save him. From that will come the light of life. And you can walk your life with that same light because in him is no darkness at all. Amen. So the question is, would you choose him today? Would you choose him in salvation? And if you've chosen him in salvation, then would you choose to walk with him in life? Would you choose that? That is a choice you have to make. But if you make that choice to walk in the light, not your own understanding, you'll see what God can do in your life. You'll see what God can do in your life. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes. Our heads are bowed this morning and our eyes are closed. Do you have Christ in you today?